Anderson coming to you live today, the very first day of February 2023. And we have an interesting show for you today. Thanks to my partner, Ron Avery, my partner in crime. You know, it's a thought crime to talk about these things, so that makes Ron a partner in crime. He's just finding that out today. So, Katie, bar the door, watch out for the FBI, right?
That's right.
But anyway, yes, here it is, 1st of February, and we're going to talk a little bit about the weather today. There's an REM song, Can We Talk About the Weather? Can We Talk About the Government? Well, we'll talk about the weather and the government. Yes, politics and religion is not taboo here, of course. And we'll probably get into it fairly quickly about the late John Coleman. He was born in 1934. He was a weather journalist, meteorologist, and I understand he died in 2018 in Las Vegas. And he made a number of waves in his life. First of all, he co-founded the Weather Channel, which is still pretty popular. I believe it's based in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm not sure the weather's accurate. A lot of times the weather gales are cute. That's all I look for. I'm not interested in anything accurate from any mainstream media, including weather. Ron found out today, he was reading an RBN post, because RBN has a great website, republicbroadcasting.org, not just for the radio links, but for articles and research, a lot of good stuff. And it's a good thing to promote along with the shows. But he found a posted item about John Coleman. And so in the second half of today's show, who knows, we might get a bug up our butt and do it sooner. But at least for the second half of today's show, after station ID, we're going to go ahead and have Ron play some video clips of John Coleman debunking man-made anthropogenic, I'm walking out on a limb now, global warming, a.k.a. climate change. Of course, they changed it to climate change because then that way they could say, well, it's warming or cooling based on humankind's activities. If it wasn't a warming trend, they had a way out by saying climate change. Of course, in the 70s and even before that, but definitely in the 70s, it was global cooling or what was anticipated to perhaps be a new ice age. But once they found the tomfoolery involved in the words climate change, then they could go have their cake and eat it too. Oh, it's warmer. That's mankind's fault. It's colder. That's mankind's fault. Texas being unusually cold with these real sudden cold snaps, well, that's mankind's fault too. And all the ice on all the roads is signs of global warming. So very counterintuitive. And I know that the weather science, like all science, can be complicated. Now, I'll preface this show today by going out on a little bit of an ideological or repertorial limb. In 2011, I've seen a lot of people and met a lot of people in 36 or so years of reporting, and I've come across some interesting topics. It doesn't matter whether I agree with them or not. That's always a secondary thing for a journalist. Yeah, that's something you consider, but the first thing you do when you see something is not, oh, I agree or disagree. It's you keep an open mind and you look at it. And you don't get in the way of the free transmission of ideas. You are there to, the journalist's job is to propagate the free transmission of ideas and point and counterpoint. Not much, if at all, to interfere with that process. Certainly not to be a censor with a capital C. And one of the things I caught in 2011 in South Bend, Indiana, I used to live in that area near the Michigan line, was Robert Sungenis. His book, Galileo Was Wrong, The Church Was Right. And he contended that the earth is stationary and does not spin on its axis, and that it is at rest in the center of the solar system. It is not heliocentric, but geocentric. And he showed a diagram of how that can be, everything would look as it looks now, even if the earth were at rest in the center of the solar system. And the reason I bring this up is not so much to talk about his theories, but to talk about the weather. What makes it go? Now, if God did have that kind of providence, that kind of special seat for mankind, and he put us in the center of the solar system, and he made the earth stationary, if that's the case, I'm not worried about determining whether it's the case, but if it's the case, then that says something about the weather. If the world's not turning on an axis, it may be going on an orbit, but not turning on an axis. Let's just say that's true, for the sake of argument. Then one could not attribute the weather to the Earth's axis, and then our relationship with God might be a little bit more pronounced, maybe a little more obvious, you might say, in the physical universe. And the so these are things to keep in mind when we wonder about the weather, because the weather is an interesting and fascinating phenomenon in and of itself, irrespective of whether mankind causes part of it or not. So it's just a way kind of to backdrop today's issue to think about, well, okay, mankind may or may not cause a so-called climate change, global warming. John Coleman insists he doesn't. Mankind does not do that. We generally agree because we've looked at this issue a long time. Yet one has to wonder, what exactly is the weather? Where does it come from? It is a bit of a mystery in my estimation. I don't think it's been fully explained by meteorologists. So like so many other sciences, so medical science, the applied sciences, or cosmology, the more theoretical sciences, science in America is not as mature as we're told it is. We don't understand the natural world as well as we'd like to think we do. And I think that the ultimate origins of weather are still something of a mystery. But I think we know enough about it to where it is largely something that runs on autopilot. Call it Gaia, Mother Earth, call it God. Of course, the biblical God is what I believe in personally. What I think about that as a journalist is you know, not so important. But the weather is something that seems to operate on its own engine. And I don't think there's much, if any, evidence that humankind's activities have anything more than the most negligible impact on it. I don't think that we know enough about it, and I think science is too immature and stunted in the States and really in the world due to the ruling establishment's interpretation of events, due to the fact that they want to report everything with one mind, with one idea, allowing really no meaningful counterpoint to happen. But that doesn't happen here at RBN or similar alternative media. We let the ideas flow. We talk about different theories. Let the information flow and respect the people out there enough to make up their own minds. It's not really ultimately the reporter or the radio commentator's job to make up your mind for you. It's only to put the broadest possible perspective out there and let free speech be free speech. Let it be heard. Because free speech without being heard is no speech at all. But anyway, that's just some perspective. I've met a lot of interesting people and seen a lot of interesting things in my years reporting, many of them unexpected. In fact, when I saw that conference and met Robert Sungenis that propagated that theory, I had no idea he was even speaking, much less what his theory was, until I got there. So it was very spontaneous. And one editor was hesitant for me to even write about it. Later, I did have Robert Sungenis on an earlier RBN show I did back in the earlier days. It would have been around 2011. And I actually had him on the radio show to talk about his theory on the solar system. Again, to let the idea be heard, not to censor it. But we didn't get into weather. And a lot of people that talk about Earth sciences and Earth theories tend to avoid the topic of weather and what its ultimate origins are. But that's just something I had in my heart, in my mind here as I hit the shower before today's show, and just some thoughts to share. But Ron Avery's with me, of course. How you doing, Ron?
Good. How are you? You're doing good.
Yeah, not too bad. I'll make a quick announcement now while I'm thinking about it. I do have one copy left of Alice and the Money Tree. A book that explains in rhyme and verse, kind of Alice in Wonderland style illustrations and rhyme and verse. It's a cute little hardcover. I'm showing it for the video viewers. We video simulcast this show most of the time to livestream.com/Ron Avery, A-V-E-R-Y, /stop the presses. This is my last copy for now until my supplies are restocked. I'll let it go for $10. If anybody's interested, it's a great homeschooling book. or to share with friends or just read yourself. It's by an acquaintance of mine, John Briggs, J.M. Weston Briggs, who lives in England, southern England. He's a great guy, a very astute guy, and he loves his book to be spread around. I also have several copies of this, The Truth About Money. And this expands on it a little more in more adult terms, you might say, whereas the other book is a little bit more like nursery rhymes, but very entertaining. This is by Frank Wallace and Stephen Clark, and it's some overstock I have from my past travels, The Truth About Money. And you can get one copy for 10, but two copies for only 15. And that's a trade paperback. And it gets into the Federal Reserve System and some interesting things about the American Monetary Institute and the late founder, Stephen Zarlinga, who has some interesting ideas about monetary reform. So a couple of great books there. You can get a hold of me at truthhound2, T-R-U-T-H-H-O-U-N-D, the numeral 2, at yahoo.com, or get a hold of me through the station, and I can make arrangements and ship them right out. It's very important to just not only understand the weather, which is one of the greater mysteries in my opinion, but almost equally mysterious in some respects is the monetary system. It's been made purposely that way, of course. They don't want you to understand it. But that's just some things to get off my chest in terms of housekeeping mode. Now, I'll mention, Ron, did you hear that Greg Abbott, the Texas governor, hired a new border czar?
No, I did not hear that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm going to fart around. I'm on my new desktop now. If I do something stupid and cut myself off, I'm going to ask the board ops to get a hold of me again. But I don't think I'll do that. I'm going to go. You're probably going to still see me as normal here. And okay, let's go to. We're going to go, Mike. I think his name is Mike Banks, new border czar. Yes, 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 yes. Okay. We've got all sorts of articles here. If I don't hit a paywall all the time, it certainly helps. Okay, yes. We're not seeing his picture. Are you still seeing me normally, Ron?
I'm sorry.
You still seeing me as normal?
Yes, I see you.
Okay, the Dallas Morning News does not have a picture of him. That's really interesting why you would not have a picture. Let's try the Austin American Statesman. Do they have a new picture of the new border czar? I mean, come on. I don't want to see a video. Come on. No. Okay, there he is. We'll go with this. And we're going to go to here, and I believe somebody's back with us.
Yeah, the board ops took a break. Mike took a break and came back.
I'm going to start sharing here on the screen. It should work. You seeing okay. Anything else?
Not yet, but you did clear yourself. You're ready to show something.
Okay. Let's go here. Are we seeing
there it
that?
Is.
Okay, here he is. Here's Mike Banks, the appointed Texas first border czar. I just got done sending Texas Greg Abbott a note. As noted, I was going to send him some of my radio work. I mentioned it last time I was on the air, I believe. I was going to send him some of my broadcasts, whether it's a show I hosted or a show I was a guest on, about the border. I ended up showing him or sending him a show I was a guest on, because it was shorter than an RBN show. And for that reason alone, I sent him my recent interview with Brian Hesher on TNT radio, and sent that to the governor. And then only then after that did I find out this, that Mike Banks was appointed the first Texas border czar. We'll read a little bit here. We're showing it on the screen. Texas governor announced Monday, which I believe was January 31st, that Mike Banks, a retired Border Patrol agent, will be the state's first border czar. News Nation partner Border Report wrote that Abbott announced the new position during a press conference where construction crews were building the second segment of a state-funded border wall in South Texas. I didn't know about this or I would have been there. I'll mention that. And the Texas Tribune reports that the new border czar, Mr. Banks, Mike Banks, retired from the Border Patrol 10 years ago. And he used to work around here in my area, by the way, in the McAllen-Weslaco area. He'll work with the Texas National Guard, the Texas Facilities Commission, which is reportedly working on expanding the wall that Trump started, or strictly state projects, and he'll work with state troopers to supposedly and allegedly accelerate the building of this wall. I added the words supposedly and allegedly. They're not in this News Nation Now article, newsnationnow.com, that I'm showing on the screen for video viewers. During the news conference, Banks said his priority, his top priority, is to make the state of Texas the least desirable place for illegal immigration, quote, end quote. But he gave few specifics on how he planned to do so. And this is a quote from the Dallas Morning News. So this News Nation Now is sort of a compilation of other news sources. I don't think it's going to be that difficult, the Dallas Morning News quoted Mike Banks as saying, I'm going to apply the applicable laws that are out there that should be applied within my ability. Banks, according to Abbott, has over three decades of experience in federal law enforcement, including 23 years in border security operations and administration along the southern border. We got a couple minutes before the break. Now, the Austin American Statesman is quoted, noting that Mike Banks was quoted in several news outlets about conditions at a crowded, foul-smelling facility for detained immigrants in McAllen when Vice President Mike Pence visited there in 2019. Many of the nearly 400 men there had not showered for 10 to 20 days. This article's kind of a snoozer. There's not much here. But what is your first impression of this, Ron, that now we have a border czar? Is this just optics, or is Abbott feeling enough pressure from the skeptics to get serious, or is it somewhere in between? Well, what's your first impression?
I don't know that it means anything, unfortunately. that might mean you just shift your responsibility again off to somebody else.
That's one possibility. Yeah, I talked to somebody who patrols the border as a ranch hand for private ranch landowners along the border near Eagle Pass, and he has said something very similar, that if nothing else, this is a way to pass the buck and dodge responsibility again. Not that hiring a border czar is necessarily a bad idea in and of itself. The question is the motivation on Abbott's specific part.
My question is, what's the guy going to do? I mean, if he doesn't have half tracks and tanks and men to block the border up, then nothing's going to be done. I don't care who you appoint or what you do. You have to go down there with people and machinery to block that thing up and not let them in. You can't let them in. The catch is you don't let illegal aliens into the country, period.
Yeah, it's not like they're just trickling in at 5 or 10 or even 50 or 60. We'll be back with more.
Smile, such platonic eye, how they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls, how we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed. But you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home. The Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Hey, and welcome to the next segment of Stop the Presses. It is Wednesday, the 1st of February, 2023. And as per usual, I'm joined by Ron Avery, who engineers the video simulcast of this. It goes to livestream.com/Ron Avery, A-V-E-R-Y, /Stop the Presses. I have a new desktop, so I think in some ways it might make the video quality a little bit better. I'm not sure compared to my tablet. A lot of ways to skin a cat here. Getting back to global warming, a.k.a. climate change, as I mentioned early in the show, Ron is going to show some video footage of the late John Coleman and his views on climate change. He's a co-founder of the Weather Channel. He lived from 1934 to 2018, a very interesting and storied career, as I understand it. And I may not show this on the screen. Well, maybe I will. I got just a minute. I can do things pretty quickly here with this new doohickey here. And I'm going to go to something else here. Here real quickly. You should be seeing this, Ron. This is the British Guardian, which to me is one of the most laughable newspapers in the existence of journalism. Always acting like it knows what's going on in America and proving every time it reports that it doesn't know what's going on in America or anywhere else for that matter. Weather Channel co-founder John Coleman prefers conspiracies to climate science. So remember, Ron, just like medical science, especially with so-called vaccines, you can't deny climate science. You can't question anything. And in fact, science itself becomes unquestioning when it comes to the climate. Science itself becomes unquestioning when it comes to especially vaccines and much of medical science. Isn't that interesting, Ron, how science itself asks no questions, and when you ask questions, you have to respect the science that itself asks no questions. So the most natural thing in the world is to ask a question of an institution that doesn't question anything anymore. And so science isn't even science when questions aren't asked, when other theories aren't given ample weight. And so here we go. I don't need to show a lot of articles. This is just so typical of the mass media cartel. Showing it again for the video viewers, describing it for audio-only listeners. Weather Channel co-founder John Coleman prefers conspiracies to climate science. Interesting that it says conspiracies, plural. So what he prefers just a whole assortment of conspiracies to climate science?
Yeah.
It's just, the word is just used so loosely, conspiracies.
Well, okay. If you don't believe what the government says, then you believe in conspiracy, and that means all conspiracies, every one of them. I mean, that's just an absurdity. I mean, it's crazy.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I'm still getting used to this. I'll just read a little bit of this. We don't have much time. And then we're going to show, after the bottom of the hour and station idea, we're going to show some clips of John Coleman talking about and debunking climate change and global warming. The Weather Channel co-founder, John Coleman, this Guardian article starts out by saying, was recently interviewed by Megyn Kelly on Fox News. Okay, so it's already secondhand. The Guardian is not interviewing Coleman directly. Calling human-caused global warming, quote, a myth, end quote. The interview was then amplified through the media echo chamber, including an article at left-leaning Huffington Post, and Coleman was subsequently interviewed on CNN's Reliable Sources. And so already the Guardian is having a kitten over this. Coleman has publicly denied the scientific reality of human-caused global warming for years, telling Fox News back in 2008 that he wanted to sue Al Gore, for example. There's no new content in these latest interviews, just the usual long-debunked climate myths and conspiracy theories. Coleman is apparently considered a credible climate interviewee because he was instrumental in creating the Weather Channel 32 years ago, but he's woefully misinformed when it comes to climate science. And so the Guardian's got this all nailed down. They know better. Now, I'm sure they go on to quote some sources that they consider are credible. But all Coleman is trying to do, like so many of us, is get the other side out there. When the mainstream mass media cartel won't tell all sides or both sides, then you're compelled to tell the one side that's not being told. Before the bottom of the hour, Ron, any quick comment?
No.
I guess it speaks for itself. Again, When an entire aspect of a given topic is not being told, you're compelled to give that other side because the mass media cartel won't give the full range of views. And then when somebody fills in that gap, fills in that void, they're attacked by the one-size-fits-all, one-narrative-for-all mass media cartel. But anyway, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour, and stay tuned for some video clips. It'll be pretty understandable for audio listeners, too, of John Coleman, founder of the Weather Channel, co-founder. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Yeah, from a little big horn to the Rio Grande, it seems we've seen the last lemonade stand. Well, all the flea markets and the paper route. If you can't trade in bulk, you give muscle there. Hey. Can we just slow down to the break of day? Yeah, would you hold me close into the break of day?
And welcome to the second half of Stop the Presses. Your host, Mark Anderson, Wednesday, the 1st of February, 2023. I'm with Ron Avery. And as noted, we're going to listen to, if your audio, and watch, if your video, some of John Coleman, the late co-founder of the Weather Channel, about climate change and global warming. I understand from Ron, he's got some video clips that I think were derived from the RBN website. He can correct me if I'm wrong about that. But Ron, you all set to go on that?
Yes, just give me a second. I'll pull it up here.
I got out of share screen on my side, so I'm not in share screen.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back to get into share screen. Okay. Then I'm going to have to share the sound too.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, start sharing. And then we're going to go get the clip and put you over here. Well, since you'll be seen anyway, we'll do this. And then we're going to play this.
Are you real concerned about this global warming?
I'm only concerned about the incredible frenzy and hype for something that's a total myth. That concerns me a lot because people are going hysterical about it. It's amazing to me how upset so many people are and how many billions of dollars apparently our governments are going to spend of our tax dollars to combat something that isn't real. That has my attention, believe me. As a scientist, I know that global warming doesn't really exist at all in any sense of significance, and that we have nothing to worry about.
Now, are you saying that there hasn't even been any warming?
Well, there's absolutely natural climate fluctuations. We have little ice ages. We have warm-ups. Historically, the Earth has vacillated through all of these. Solar cycles change dramatically. Ocean currents change. And all of that has a significant impact on climate. And the building of cities, the flying of airplanes, the existence of all these billions of people on Earth have all influenced the climate of Earth. But none of it is of significance. And thank goodness, things are doing just fine.
So you're not in a panic over the icebergs melting and the sea levels rising? And
I promise you, 20 years from today, I'll be the one that's laughing. The icebergs, the ice caps at the poles are not going to melt. The oceans are not going to flood the coast. People are not going to die. We're not going to have global climate change that cuts off the food supply. We're not going to have thousands of species eliminated as they lose their habitat. None of these things is going to happen. The Earth is going to, the climate's going to change with cycles of the sun and with ocean currents. And we're all going to do just fine.
But Al Gore has a very convincing video out there that seems to show that we're really facing a catastrophe.
I'm very well aware of the hype. The media is full of it every day. Al Gore got the Nobel Peace Prize, an Oscar, and a Grammy, and apparently millions of dollars. Al Gore, I believe, is sincere in his belief. But oh, so misguided, as is the entire UN IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change.
Well, doesn't that bring us to the point that Mr. Gore makes and many others, that science has spoken? There is a universal consensus among scientists.
Well, if you look at the history of the IPCC, it was formed by people whose agendas were of question. They really wanted to get back at the industrialized nations and get them to pay penance to the third world nations for their pollution of the atmosphere through their industrial activities. It was the little guys picking on the big guys kind of concept, which is very common in the UN. And it was from people who had a world government in mind. That history is pretty well documented by an engineer named Alan Cheatham. He has really dug into it. And there's that panel was, so you create this bureau within the UN on climate change. Well, its mission and its existence then is to prove that there's climate change. So it starts hiring scientists and giving them research money to go out and prove that its mission is valid, to prove its point. And all of this, and then it holds meetings and it does publicity and the whole thing just crescendos and builds. Now, was there a consensus of 2,500 scientists at the Bali meeting? Heavens, no. The key paragraphs or chapters of this report and the research documents behind it, which are very impressive, are not anything that were widely read by these scientists. They were, many of them were political scientists, as it were scientists who have a political mission. Representatives there from Greenpeace and the Sierra Club and from government ministries, in addition to some well-meaning scientists. But it appears that only about 25 scientists out of that 2,500 actually read and reviewed in a scientific manner, peer review, the key chapter on radiative forcing by carbon dioxide causing climate change. So there was no huge consensus built up at the IPCC. And there's almost more scientific consensus on the other side, where 19,000 scientists signed a petition against the Kyoto Protocol, where 400-plus scientists spoke out as skeptics on global warming in 2007, where at least four dozen TV meteorologists have spoken out against global warming. There's no consensus, and to try to shut off the debate is a political strategy. One of the great things about science is the debate that takes place, and the debate should never be shut off.
It's my understanding that at Bali, in November of 2007 at the conference there, that quite a number of scientists who went there in order to engage in debate there were not allowed to have any kind of forum there.
There were 100 scientists who wrote a letter of complaint at the meeting. That was one group that spoke up. And we have documentation and statements and papers by any number of scientists who were on the IPCC panel, who were reviewers and had been with it for years, who shared in that Nobel Peace Prize, because the panel shared the prize with Al Gore, who shared in that prize, who say that this panel should be disbanded, it's a sham.
Because a lot of the scientists who participated in the panel actually providing scientific input,
it was ignored.
Where then later their scientific work was basically shoved aside for political.
Oh, they asked questions, they made comments, and essentially it was pushed aside, ignored. And that is not the scientific process, obviously.
Now, you were involved in the middle of your career in broadcasting 20, 30 years ago when we were told in similar panic terms that we were going to face global cooling and ice age.
I was a TV weathercaster in Chicago when the head of the Department of Meteorology at the University of Wisconsin announced the coming of an ice age. And Time magazine came out with a picture of the skyscrapers of Chicago trapped in a huge glacier that was creeping down over the Midwest. And clearly, as a television meteorologist, I was working for ABC at the time, I was called upon to report on this and to investigate it and to interview people and to, so yeah, I was there. Uh-huh. Yeah, and.
You're still waiting for the ice cap.
I never believed it was coming. Nor do I believe global warming is coming. And in fact, are you aware, and I'm sure some people seeing this are aware, that officials of both the Canadian and Russian government in the past 6 weeks have warned of a coming ice age?
It's my understanding, and this other scientists have well been looking at this, pointing out the connection between our weather and the solar activity.
Yeah, this has to do with what's known as a moderate minimum, where the sun goes into hibernation, as they describe it, where the number of solar flares diminishes to zero and the sun lays quiet. And clearly, the sun is the source of all energy on Earth. Nothing happens here without the sun. Without the sun, it's all over. And so how bright the sun shines is a key element. And you and I were taught in school of the solar constant, a figure that represented the energy arriving at Earth from the sun, as though it were a consistent light bulb burning. Well, it's not that at all, of course. It's a great ball of hydrogen exploding in atomic fusion, and this great mass of fire has a lifetime to it, and it has ups and downs. It is not uniform, and it burns irregularly, and it throws off huge amounts of radioactive materials at times, and at other times it lays quieter. And which side of the sun is facing toward Earth at the time of these events has a lot to do with the energy received at Earth. And so all of this is the controlling factor of the climate on Earth. And if you plot the temperatures of Earth, the ice ages and the warm spells, the medieval warm period and so on, and you plot those all out as best we can reproduce them. But we didn't have thermometers for so long. Now, we only had thermometers for a couple hundred years, and they're not very accurate. And where you put the thermometer is pretty important, too. But let's say you do the best you can from tree rings or whatever other samples you get from ice cores or whatever, and you try to get the long-term temperatures of Earth. And then you compare that to your best record of solar cycles, they seem to lie together. So as goes the sun, so goes the Earth. I think that's pretty clear. It's daddy.
And there are many scientists who view the very minor increase in temperature we have had experienced in more recent times, not with alarm, but suggest that is a benefit.
Well, there is a, if you live in Canada or Minnesota, you might feel that a little global warming would be a wonderful thing. And I think you have a strong point. What is the right temperature for planet Earth? what is our ideal climate regime? Is it what we have had for the last 50 years, or is it something warmer or colder than that? I would tend to think a few degrees warmer might be a very good thing. And you indicate that indeed we have had a warming. I guess the preponderance of evidence might lead to best suggest that we might have had a degree 0.2 of warming over the last 30 years or 40 years. But that's, boy, that's vague, and it's hard to pin down. Because during this period of time, these great cities have built up. And urban heat islands are very real. So if you have a thermometer in the city, its temperature has definitely climbed. But the thermometers in the countryside around that city haven't increased and significantly, if at all. And so it depends which thermometers you're reading. And we've even discovered that they used to whitewash the little shelters, the little white boxes with the louvers on the side that had the weather thermometers in them. And then they started painting them with latex paint. It's about a degree difference between whitewash and latex. Thank you. I mean, this isn't easy stuff now.
So there's a lot of variables
here. Absolutely.
Even if we have, say, we have granted a 1 degree increase, and even that is not certain, or somewhere in that neighborhood, how does that compare with other periods in history? That we've had larger increases, have we not?
Oh, of course. Around 1900, the Northwest Passage was clear of ice. We had a warm spell. We had the Little Ice Age, you know, that preceded that by about 300 years. Remember that Greenland was settled by the Norsemen when the coast of Greenland were fertile and clear and beautiful farming country, and they established farms that operated there for more than 100 years. Those same coasts that are now covered in ice, and where the ice is reportedly melting now, and the alarmists are screaming about it as though it's some catastrophe. There's these ups and downs.
In previous warming periods, we don't have any great evidence of species extinction.
Well, take the polar bear, for instance. There's so much talk about the polar bear today. Excuse me? Polar bear made it through all of that. The polar bears have existed through all this time, despite the fact the Eskimos are hunting them for food and clothing. They are the lifeblood of the Eskimo nation. They need the meat, they need the fur, they need the hides. Polar bears are part of their existence, they're the food cycle. And despite the changes in climate.
Okay.
And that's enough, I think. That's a good sampling. We got about 10 minutes at the most before the end of today's show. I wanted to allow ample time, Ron, for comment and reflection. I thought I recognized the voice of the interviewer, and I was correct. The guy interviewing him was William F. Jasper of the New American Magazine. That interview was on or around April 28th of 2008, 10 years before Mr. Coleman passed away. And it's interesting, is it not, Ron, that Mr. Coleman is shown speaking from a weather studio. It appears that he was at a studio. I don't think that was green screen. It looked real to me behind him. And if it was green screen, we stand corrected. But it looked to be real. In other words, he looked to be on the job in some capacity and was able to talk about that openly in a public forum. And the first thing that strikes me about it, Ron, is no person on earth would be allowed to say that on television, what he just said, or in anything approaching a televised commentary with a large enough audience that appeared to have been, because again, he was dressed in a work capacity with the weather studio behind him, like he was still an executive maybe at the Weather Channel at that time, or some affiliate of the Weather Channel. So the first thing that strikes me is only 2008, what, 14 years ago, let's just say, ish, one was able, in this case, John Coleman, was able to speak in a fairly large public forum and speak openly about this, I really believe that that would be literally prohibited now, disallowed, banned, to even say what he's saying.
Yeah, I think what's apparent here is this whole trend of moving away from the idea that all political power comes from the individual. And if he cannot delegate to government that which he does not have in himself, and he can also limit that which he delegates to government. But we've gotten away from that, and they're trying to develop a priesthood, much like they did in the old churches centuries ago, where the clergy, the higher levels of the clergy, determined all truth and all things, and it got to be pretty rigid. And now they're making this scientific science-based clergy that determines the truth for everybody, and then it's unquestionable. It's infallible science, which is garbage. That is just pure garbage. And they're trying to move it away where we don't have the right to challenge or think or do any of that. That is all left to science. Science has spoken. This is it. Get used to it. And you're the problem, and you change. So all this change they're talking about is you change. Not them change, you change, you change now and get with the program. And I'm sick of change. It's tyranny. We need to, if we're going to change, we need to change back to where the individual has the authority. And if they don't delegate it to government, then the government can't get it. And that which I don't have in myself, the government also does not have. If we don't have it, the government doesn't have it, and they can't get it. And that applies to the weather, that applies to anything else. And I'm just sick of hearing about how something that somebody discovers means I got to change again. No, I don't. That don't mean a damn thing. What you discover doesn't have anything to do with whether I have the authority and what government has.
Yeah, that you're talking political science, things related to it as well. Yeah, that's very interesting, and that is sort of what undergirds all of this, is the notion that we can be scolded into accepting a one world, one size fits all idea of climate. And that is that we are solely or at least largely responsible for influencing it. Therefore, we have to change our whole societal structure to avoid what we're being told would be a climate catastrophe, which Mr. Coleman believes is never going to happen. He never foresaw much, if any, melting at the poles, as he stated. So it's very dangerous. And when you get into medical with it, that is an especially dangerous way to think. But yeah, go on.
Yeah, I have one more comment that I think applies here, is also these scientists are trying to move away from the idea that God really controls the cosmos.
Right.
God is the one that created this thing, and he created us in it, that we're a part of it. He actually designed the earth for us, and he sustains the earth and us. What people ought to be doing, individuals, I don't know where the static is coming from, but individuals should take care of one another. Our job is to protect property, the life, liberty, and possessions of people, and that's the job of government, protection of life, liberty, and possessions of the people. Not controlling the weather or the temperature of the planet or the rotation of the earth or the sun or who does what. That's all God's business.
Yeah, let me get that in there. The only way that humankind can control the weather is through the deliberate manipulation of it. And there is sufficient evidence, the word sufficient being very important, sufficient evidence that Mankind does intervene, with the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation having documented applications on file for people and companies, private companies, to cloud seed and modify rain patterns and make it rain when it isn't across millions of acres of Texas. These applications are on file right now, and cloud seeding goes on in Middle Eastern countries where they're able to make it rain. And I'm sure much more is done than cloud seeding, but the word sufficient is being used here because we know that cloud seeding is being done using silver iodide. And so, yes, there is man-made alterations to climate, but it is an interventionist thing. It's not just the casual or inadvertent emissions from gas grills and automobiles and smokestacks. There's the very small things like reflectivity off of concrete surfaces from urban expansion that Mr. Coleman mentioned, how cities have different heat differentials or heat properties than countrysides, little things like that that have to do with man-made civilization and infrastructure. But that's really all we have time for today. I know we had a caller out there, but there was just a little bit too much to unpack today, so I apologize to James from Vancouver for not getting to his call. Call back another time to mine and or Ron's show, and we'll make sure to pick up. But again, we apologize about that. Sometimes these shows, especially when you only have 1 hour and you're showing video, there's a lot to cover and a lot of thoughts to share. But Ron, thanks for bringing that up today. Very thought-provoking for people listening live and on the archive to consider John Coleman, what his position was in that interview with William F. Jasper, the New American, when Coleman was still in his capacity as a company administrator or company CEO or whatever he was in 2008 when that was filmed. But very informative stuff you don't hear anymore from people in that position, being a co-founder of the Weather Channel. And this just shows how much the media is censoring even more. So thanks for listening, everybody. See you next time. Stay here for the next show on RBN. We'll see you next Wednesday on Stop the Presses. And Ron has another Search for Lawful Government. He'll probably go live tomorrow. Listen for that. Have a great one. See you next time.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.